Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. For us, it's Saturday the 30th, and would you believe it's just after 8:30 in the morning. We were up with the birds this morning, especially the big noisy birds in our garden, and that was at about, awakened at 5 and up for about, what was it, 6:30? So we thought, why not just come down to church and just get the ball rolling. So here we are. We're glad that you can join us. I pray you're having a good day. It's a beautiful sunny day outside. Pray you're able to get the benefit of it. It's good to see, and it's good to be able to be out in it. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we are going to sing for you. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this new day and for life and health and strength. For each one of our church members, our virtual church members and our CD church members, I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon each one of us. And Lord, I just want to call out our names. And I pray you, Lord, for each name that's called out, not here in body, but here in spirit, I pray that you would bless and make wise and chasten, Lord, comfort, strengthen. Lord, please provide our needs this day. I think especially, Lord, on Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. I pray you too, Lord, for John and for Will and for their home, for Christine and Mary Ann, for Reggie and William and Paul and Rachel and Lily Ann, for David and Naomi and their families too. Pray you too for Leonard, Lord, and your good hand upon him and his. We remember Rita's family, Lord, and I pray you for comfort and salvation there, for Elaine and Hillary. Remember too Esther, Lord. I pray you, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen her and be with her. And I know, Lord, I'm sure she has her children and her grandchildren upon her heart, and I pray for great salvation there too, Lord. Remember Brother Christy, Lord, and pray that you would bless and watch over him as he labours. Not only him, but Taylor too, Lord, and Terry and her mom. Please save their souls, Lord. Remember as well, Brother Norman. Pray you, Lord, for wisdom and the wherewithal there, Lord, for the victory and his contentions with Mark and solicitors and one thing and another. Comfort and strength there as well, Lord. For Pat and Steve, I know that lost loved ones are heavy upon their hearts right now, and pray, Lord, please, that you would use them at this time to speak to their hearts. Whether it's a remembered word or a current conversation, Lord, please speak to hearts. And we're not forgetting John and Carol and Stephen, Lord. We pray, Lord, for your good hand upon them, upon ourselves as well, Lord. And, Lord, we're not forgetting Maslam and Georgina. And their children, I pray you, Lord, for salvation for them. We pray you too, Lord, for my dad, as he listens, for John Bradfield, for Roger and Patricia Hain. I pray you, Lord, for them as they listen too, for Stephen and Anne Marie. And Lord, please just, Lord, if there's anything you could do for them, for the help that they've been in tending to the grounds in the church, please, Lord, I pray you for them. For Henry and Evelyn and for their children and especially for their wee grandson Isaac. Remember too at this time, Lord, Eddie and Anne, Esther's neighbours, and Sammy and Kate. I pray you too for Sally. We remember too, Lord, at this time, Alan Leslie, Billy's old friend, as well as his neighbours, and for Pearl Hetherington, Lord. Please, I pray, you put your good hand upon them. And we're not forgetting Norman and Noel and Joan. Norman's got a bad leg. So does Steve, Lord. I pray you, Lord, for divine healing. For Jane and Corey, for salvation. For Terence McLaughlin, for Carol and Harry and Marie. Pray you, Lord, for your blessings there. Remember too, Lord, Frank McLaughlin, just up above us here. And our other neighbours, Lord. We're not forgetting, Lord, those that have been and gone, the whole family, for the Robinsons, for the Borlands, for the Edgars, and for the Lemunions, Lord. Please, I pray you, restore these your children to fellowship with us, but more importantly, to fellowship with you. Please save souls, Lord. Please save lives. Please be with our countrymen, Lord, those that have heard a hymn or a prayer or a part of a sermon, Lord, or received a gospel tract in the door, even a John and Romans or a Bible. Please draw souls to you, Father. Please convict greatly of sin and judgment to come. And please, Lord, I pray, look after our country and our countrymen. Please be with the leaders. Lord, convict them greatly of making right decisions. And Father, we just leave that. And of course, this service in your hands, pray that you would do with it as you will. And if there's a name that I have forgotten, Lord, which is entirely possible, please forgive me, Lord, and remind me during the service. We love you and thank you. We pray it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Going with our previous request there, I just want to remind you at this particular time, if at any time you're having difficulty finding references or hymns, just press the pause on the recording. And don't forget to press it again whenever you find it. But I just want to let you know that we are going to be reading, our Bible reading today will be from 1 John chapter 2. That's near the back of the Bible, beside Revelation. And our service this morning, or our sermon this morning, will be taken from Daniel chapter 9. So that's the two places you need to put a wee paper bookmark in, or put your fingers in and keep them there, which might be a bit more awkward, is Daniel 9 and 1 John chapter 2. Right. We're going to sing for you. Our first song of the morning is 259 in the hymn book. 259 in the hymn book, and that is Jesus Saves. 259. Bible readings this morning. This one is from 1 John chapter 2. If you're with me, it's only a matter of pulling out that little paper marker and you're right there. And if not, well, I'm turning at the same time as you're turning, and I have just about arrived at 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, away at the back of the Bible. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Steve. We are going to have a few announcements right now, and then we are going to sing another song. Amen. First of all, our announcements, I would just like to remind you that if you would continue to pray for Rita Burnett's family. Rita went up to glory there, goodness, this is a week ago. It's a week ago, yesterday. And she left behind two daughters that labored continually for the past few years to keep their mom at home and to keep her comfortable. And goodness, just to maintain her lifestyle. And they did a bang-up job. And I would just ask that you would pray for Elaine and Hillary at this time and the rest of Rita's family, that that some would come to know Jesus Christ through it all. Please do pray for them. I know after a difficult time like that, it's difficult too whenever you have to make a home ready to pass on to other people, which is what I believe they were doing on Wednesday whenever we were out and about passing out the CDs. So please do pray for them. I would ask also that you would pray for the Cousins family. Mr. Cousins passed away at the age of 43 and left behind a young family, the eldest 9, the youngest 3. Please do pray for them up in Kilkeel. And please do pray for the Gilbert family over in America. They go to Monica's mom's and dad's church, Black Creek Baptist. Ed Gilbert lost his wife Jane there just a couple of weeks ago, and I am sure they're still feeling that, so please do pray for them. And pray for Norman and as he mourns Sandra and tidies up her affairs. And please do pray for John and Carol too. I know every one of us that has lost loved ones, there'll always be a wee space there, but you keep your eyes upon the Lord and trust in him and lean not on your own understanding. He will guide and direct your paths. And he will bear you up. It's a promise. Isaiah 40 and 31, great verses. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as, shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. The Psalms also say that his mercies are new every morning. Keep your eyes in that. Load up with the word of God, even if it's only a chapter. First thing in the morning, let that be the foundation of your life, and you will find that you are able to weather whatever storms come your way. Please do continue to pray for each other. Brother Steve is having a bit of difficulty with his legs right now. He has an infection and he's having to get treatment for that. Also, one of our CD church, that is Norman, who looks after his mom, Noel and Joan at the end of the road there on the left as you leave the church. He's got a problem. He's got, I think, an infection in his leg too. So please do pray for him. Please do remember each person whose name is mentioned. I know it's difficult, and sometimes I just think about all the places that I go and the people that I see, and that helps me to be mindful of them. But please do pray. Pray for Sammy and Kate. They're having their own share of health difficulties right now. Sally is too. And do pray for Alan Leslie. I think that was Billy's closest friend whenever he was alive, and he has his fair share of health difficulties, and Pearl does too. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, please do pray for me as well. I'm still getting there, but I am getting there. And I appreciate all of your help, and I appreciate all of your prayers. But it's not just about me. Each one of us has needs, difficulties. I pray that you would remember each one of us. I think that's about that. Mrs. Bradfield, is there anything else we can think of? Don't forget to pray for moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles. I have an aunt, Aunt Phyllis, who was let go home there from hospital a few weeks back after suspected gallbladder trouble. And she has a future date with a surgeon and a scalpel in her future. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But she is up in her late 70s, and it'll not be as easy on her as it was on me. And that wasn't easy. So please do pray for her. I think she has a perforation on her gallbladder, and that means it has to come out. So please do pray for her and her husband Bertie and her two sons Robin and Ian. Amen. I think that's about that. God bless you. I pray that if you have anything that you need prayed about, that you would just let us know, and we will bear you up in prayer. Mrs. Bradfield doesn't have COVID, she just has a splutter. I think the hay fever is drying out her eyes and her throats, so anything that we say or do is tempered with that. Anyway, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the open invitation to come and visit with you at any time, Lord. And we thank you for the promise that whenever we bring everything to you, Lord, and pray about it and plead with you about it and thank you for it, that the peace, your peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, will keep each one of our hearts and minds because of you. And that's up to each one of us to do that. Lord, I pray that you would grant our prayer requests according to your will, most importantly for the saving of souls, but also for the saving of lives. We do continue to pray for our health service and for those that are ill at this particular time. Pray that you would restore them to health miraculously. And I pray you please that you would comfort those that have lost loved ones at this time, Lord. Please. Please be with our leaders in the world. I think on Arlene Foster and Boris Johnson. Please, I pray you, Lord, put your hand upon Nicola Sturgeon and whoever's in charge in Wales. Did we mention Boris Johnson? Also President Trump, Vladimir Putin, we think on Kim Jong-un, and President Xi in China. We're not forgetting Japan, Australia, South Korea, South Africa, the countries in South America and Canada, and of course the leaders in Europe. Lord, please, I know there are many more than just the dozen or so countries that we have mentioned there. Please, Lord, please give our leaders wisdom, integrity, honour, Lord, and most importantly, Lord, please have them honour your country of your people, Israel. Please bless them and protect them and keep them. And Lord, let us be mindful of the promise that whoever honours Israel, you will honour, and whoever blesses Israel, you will bless, but whoever curses them, you will curse. I pray you, Lord, please, that we would never be found wanting when the spotlight's in us. Strengthen each one of us, Lord. Cleanse us and refresh us at this time, I pray you. And we just thank you, Lord, for the desire to be out. I pray you, Lord, for the words and the strength and the message and the rest of the service, Lord. I love you and thank you. Amen. Right. Let's take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 119. 119, that is Till the Storm Passes By. This is by popular request, so I pray that it's pleasing to you. Join in, 119, Till the Storm Passes By.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's put our hymn books away for a little bit and take our Bibles out and turn to Daniel chapter 9 this morning. Daniel chapter 9. We're in Daniel chapter 9, and I want for us to begin reading at verse number 20. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on the news, or this is the news, just whatever you want, but whatever title you want to give the message this morning, make sure that the word news is in it. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse number 20. And the word of God says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Amen. That is our reading this morning. Just those 7 or 8 verses from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and I want to speak on the subject of the news. We're going to pray again, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, for your Son, for life and health and strength. Lord, for the promise of a home in heaven to whomever will just repent of their sins and trust you alone as their Savior. Please save souls. Please, Lord, I pray you edify the saints. And we just thank you for loving us and watching over us. Wherever in the world that somebody stands, Lord, and opens your word and preaches the full counsel of it, Lord, for the saving of souls, for the edifying of the saints, for the comforting of the downhearted, and for the lifting up of the brokenhearted, Lord, I pray you please bless the preaching and teaching of the word to the hearer and to the preacher also. Just thank you for loving us, and we pray all that, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We are speaking on the subject of the news, and there are many places in the Word of God that we could be taking as our text, but I love the book of Daniel because it's full of prophecy. And I especially like this little portion of God's word. First of all, as we read, as we started reading in this little portion of God's word in Daniel chapter 20. Daniel says exactly what he has been doing for the past wee while, and that is repenting to God. Not just for himself, but for the whole country. Because for decades prior to this, and decades before that, Jeremiah the weeping prophet had been preaching and warning the children of Israel to turn away from their wicked ways, to observe the Sabbaths, in other words, get back into church, get right with God, and start doing what God said. But not only were they not getting into church, that's only a sign of what's going on really in people's hearts. They were worshipping the devils, the gods of the peoples whom the God of the Bible had helped them conquer. And in some cases had actually conquered all by himself. And so Daniel was repenting of this. He was praying intercessorily, if that's the right word. He was praying on behalf of his whole country and asking for God's help. And really, it's only whenever we do admit that we are wrong and make space for God in our lives that God can help us. And so we see here in an ongoing life of walking and talking with God, and God dealing with him directly and speaking to him directly and in visions, the angel Gabriel, sent by God to Daniel, tells him the future, the news, if you like. The rebellion had resulted in Jerusalem being sacked and burned and the walls torn down. And they'd been living under the jackboot of the Babylonian Empire for a number of decades, and at this particular point, the Medo-Persian Empire. And this was going to happen for 70 years. And God said back in the day, you're not going to avoid it. You are going to. It's like no matter how good a child is, after they've done something worthy of a smack, they are going to get smacked. Well, they should be. You should get smacked. And they should understand that good deeds don't outweigh bad deeds. So, this is good news for Daniel. First of all, there are, as the Word of God says, in verse number 24, there are 70 weeks. Now, that's not just 7 sevens of 49, 490 years, or days. It's 70 weeks of years, 490 years. And basically, in all that time, the Word of God says that that will make an end of sins and the reconciliation for iniquity. In other words, that will provide a Savior. A Savior that will pay for all of our sins. And that doesn't stop there, because it goes on in verse number 25 to say that even though, and this is good news for Daniel and for the children of Israel, Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. It's going to be put back on the map. But not only that, that is going to be a starter pistol of a countdown of, I'm trying to get it right, 483 years until the Messiah rides into Jerusalem. Until Messiah, as the Word of God says, verse number 26, is cut off. In other words, more good news, Messiah was actually coming to the earth, and the sad news we think at the time was that he would lose his life, but that's the great news, because it was not for himself. And then it talks about after that, the people of the prince shall come in and destroy the city and the sanctuary, which happened about 30 years after the Lord gave his life on the cross, whenever the Jews rebelled against the Roman Empire and they burned it to the ground. Remember the wee prophecy that the Lord said, do you see this lovely temple? I'm going to tell you something. There's not going to be one stone left standing upon another. 30 years later it happened. It was burned to the ground. The gold ran in between the blocks. And the blocks were torn apart as the Romans searched out the melted gold. It's all good news. Well, except for the burning of Jerusalem. That's good news. Really good news. And a little bit of bad news. But it's news. And I know it's a little bit of a picture of everything that happened. You need to read the whole Bible to get the full picture. But he says that's only to do with the first 69 weeks. There's one more week of years, another 7-year period. And this talks about a peace process. A peace process many believe, and I do too, in the Middle East, where there is a 7-year peace process, a covenant, for 7 years. But in the middle of this 7-year peace process, this Antichrist that organizes this peace process, he is going to set himself up as God to be worshipped in the Temple Mount. And it is going to be bad for the Jews, which is what Jesus said. Whenever you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, don't go back into your house for your clothes. Don't come back home from the fields to gather any supplies. Just run for the hills. So all of these things God was telling to Daniel. He said, write them down. And talks about sealing up the vision and the prophecy. And I am sure many people wondered what that was all about. But as the years went on and God gave more news to more of his prophets, even upwards of 600-700 years later, whenever God was finished talking to John in the book of Revelation and filling in all the pieces. It is sad news for the world. It is bad news for the Christ rejecter. But it is the best of good news for those that love the Lord. It's all very interesting. And people, just like we don't know today, we don't know today what's going to happen tomorrow. The people back, Daniel in that day, didn't know whenever that was going to start. It was nearly 100 years later whenever Nehemiah was speaking to King Artaxerxes and got permission from King Artaxerxes to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And so the clock started. And 483 years later, Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on an ass, on the foal of an ass. Palm Sunday, we celebrate it as today. That's news. That's powerful news. And if you do all the counting of years and one thing and another, give or take a few years here or there, Jesus was in the age between 25 and 40. So if we split that down the middle, you get about 32 or 33. We're not going to fight over 1 or 2 years when you're working in thousands, especially when the devil has done his best to change dates and times and to confuse the issue. But these are things that were given to Daniel as news that are good for the believer. And are good for the believer not just to be able to know what's coming, but to believe that the God that has given them loves them and wants them to be ready. Whenever we read the Bible, the New Testament especially, I got to thinking about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. They got some good news. They said they heard that the Messiah was being born. And they were invited and indeed directed to the stable. And they went into the stable and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, the newly born baby Jesus, lying in a manger in a feed trough in a stable because there was no room at the inn. That was good news. They returned rejoicing and telling people about that. The wise men, they, I am sure, paid attention to what Daniel said and to when Nehemiah started rebuilding Jerusalem. And they thought, well, if he's going to be riding into Jerusalem as a mature man, I'd say he'll probably be born around such and such a time. And they got to see him when he was about 2 years old. And they brought their gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. And they were pleased to be there. It was good news for them. And people ever since that have come to Jesus Christ have been receiving that good news. In fact, I think it is the word gospel actually means the good news of God. And it is good news for everybody that wants to know God as their Savior and wants to go to heaven. It's not just news. It's the best news that anyone will ever receive. Now, I don't know if you have been listening to our news at the moment. There is a fellow by the name of John Krasinski, and he is a movie star, and over the past few months, he had been heading up a free YouTube channel called Some Good News. And it would only speak about good things. The great things that people had been doing. You know, see, there's a part of us that lusts after bad news and just wants to take bad news and use it for our own purposes. But we need good news. The most popular of movies always have a happy ending. They always have good news. And many people tuned in. Then, I don't know the reason why, I'm sure John Krasinski has other work to do. He sold the Some Good News channel to, I think it was Viacom CBS, for a few million dollars. And a lot of people got quite annoyed about it. But it's just a job to him, even though it started with a great intention. So, good news. People do like it. If people didn't like it, they wouldn't have gotten bent out of shape about it. But unfortunately, we're not getting very much of it these days. In fact, I've just been thinking over the past week or two, there are so many varied opinions, even within the brethren, that some of them must be right and some of them must be wrong, or some of them are right as far as they know based upon the wrong information that they're given. It is quite literally a news overload, far too much going on. You could spend your whole day planted on a couch reading everybody's different opinions and everybody's information and where they got it from, not even being aware of the political powers that are behind the news and what they're trying to do to the populaces of the countries that they control. I think we just don't know. We're confused, and many people are even afraid, because the stories change and they never stay the same. And I know for a fact that people don't do well with change. Some people enjoy change, but generally speaking, when it comes to work and getting things done, we like to have a good routine. We like to have a solid foundation upon which to base our lives. And that solid foundation, friends, you're not going to find a better one than Jesus Christ, the solid rock. And in the words of the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, the word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is dependable. And it also warns us in the following verse not to be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not on other things which don't really profit or are not really that good for people that occupy themselves doing. We need something that we can depend upon. Now, for as far as what's going on in the world at this particular time, it says in Matthew 24, Mark 13 and Luke 21, all of those chapters in the Gospels describe a world like very much like our world today. There are wars and rumors of wars, and we still have that. And we can look up and get our rumors of wars hot off the press. We have our famines, we have our pestilences, and those great locust swarms are still devouring everything in their path in the equatorial continents. And we're having earthquakes in diverse places. I think there was even one that was televised regarding a news reporter, I think it was in America, and they said, oh, we're having a little earthquake. And she just smiled and kept on reporting the news. But we also have the continued persecution of Christians and false saviors everywhere. In fact, there are so many false saviors that it's almost like a game of whack-a-mole. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I think it was a big arcade game where you'd get a hammer and you had to hit the mole on the head whenever it popped up out of his hole as quickly as possible, and see how many times you could hit it in any given time. And it seems to be like that with these nut jobs, these charlatans and these deceivers popping up here, there and everywhere, preaching a false, a compromised, a perverted gospel so that they can make merchandise of God's people. We have that. We also have in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3 a description of the way people behave. They mock. They are scoffers and mockers of those that are good. They're proud and covetous and boasters. They're unthankful and unholy. They think the world owes them a living, and even those men that should be standing up and preaching the full counsel of God's word are not. And God calls them traitors. We have all these things happening right here and now. And someone's coming up with one solution, and then someone comes up with another solution. But I am telling you, the solution is only to be found in trusting Christ as your Savior and Lord. We all speak often of enjoying a happy ending, but the only happy ending that God promises is not in this world. It is in eternity with Him. But these chapters in the Gospels also talk of things getting back to normal. They talk of a time of eating and drinking, of marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, speaking of a time when life has gotten back to normal, or at least as normal as it's going to get. So, there is a time of normality and there is a time of recovering, but just because in our little piece of the world it does, doesn't mean that in other parts of the world, these things that are mentioned in the Gospels don't keep going on. And it doesn't stop there. There is other news to be had. When you read the book of Revelation, especially chapters 6 through 16, you read of some horrifying things that are going to happen in this world. Going to read of a world that is going to be chastened 21 times by God. 21 judgments the world come. The word of God says are going to come to this world. 21 judgments. And they're not. It's not God wagging his finger. It's not God warning or threatening. That's what's happening now. It's God actually getting his rolling his sleeves up and getting a switch from the hedge and getting ready to spank the behind of the world that has been well past due it for the past 6,000 years. So how are we going to avoid it? Well, for the Christian, here's some good news. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, the Word of God says that we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those judgments that's mentioned in Revelation 6 through 16 is called the wrath of God poured out upon the world. This means that we'll be watching, we'll see Revelation 6 through 16 as spectators, as people that watch from afar away in heaven. But everyone that rejects Jesus will be a participant. They will be taking part in those 21 judgments, and that's definitely bad news. And then, that's what's going to happen for the Christian. But just when the world thinks that everything is going okay, Bible records in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back, and he's taken all of his people away, and not Jews, not Protestants, not Catholics, but every single saved soul in the world is going with Jesus. And then this wrath is going to come, because we are not appointed to wrath, but the wrath has to come because God said it would. And this throws the world into a great turmoil, because everything is thrown up in the air. And all those folks that are complaining about their civil liberties and this, that and the other and quarantines, they're going to line up to take the mark of the beast, because it's the only way we'll be able to keep track of you, no matter where you are in the world. And that's definitely bad news. And this speaks of the last week in verse number 27 of Daniel chapter 9. 7 years of 21 judgments of the wrath of God poured out upon a world that has constantly rejected him, that treated his son abominably, that has treated his children terribly. And halfway through it, the old devil, who's always coveted what God has, but never coveted the work. The old devil, the Antichrist, stands up in the temple on the mountain. He claims to be God, the abomination of desolation, and that is the command to the Jews to run for the hills. It'll be an even greater persecution than what took place in World War II. That's bad news. Now these 21 judgments, just like the 10 judgments that God visited through Moses to the children of Egypt thousands of years ago, they take every single god that the Christ rejecter has set up in their hearts and destroys them, breaks them, and it leaves a world on its knees where it should have been in the first place, admitting, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It leaves a world where at least half the people in it will be dead. That is, between 3 and 4 billion souls, one in every two people. All of those people that would rather believe a lie that makes them God in their own little lives has eventually cost them not just their lives, but their souls for eternity. Rather believe a lie than admit that they're wrong and God's right. Get saved. Live better here and now, and live in heaven with God for eternity. A lot of people say, but why would God do this? Because God's a God of love. Well, God, that's only one third of what God is like. The Word of God says, I think it's Jeremiah 9:24, that God is a God of loving kindness, which is the bit we all like, but also judgment and righteousness. And the loving kindness is coming to an end. Judgment and the righteousness. The judgment is coming and the righteousness will follow. How could God do that? Well, you see, it's like this. God has been warning us for thousands of years that judgment's coming. All we have to do is admit that he's right and we're wrong. That's it. Accept the salvation that God provided for free in his son Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. And you will be saved for free, forever, and for sure. And you can't lose it. You can do anything you want with it, as little or as much as you want to with it, but you're not going to heaven without it. Now, it is desperate times. And these, as the Bible says, are the beginning of sorrows, are the labor pains of this great change that there's going to be in the world. And after that 7 years are up, the Word of God says in Revelation 20 that God's going to rule the world for 1,000 years, and everyone will have a fair shake. And there'll not be any slavery, and nobody will starve, and angels will walk the streets, and glorified Christians will walk the streets as well, in glorified bodies, indestructible, eternal, immortal, powered and kept by the very Word and power of God themselves, itself, sorry. And at the end of that, all those that, even when faced with the impossible to refute truth that God sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and that God did indeed make the world, it's his ball, as they say, and he makes the rules and he can play with it whenever he wants, and whenever he says the game's over, the game's over. And friends, in at least 1,007 years, the game will be over. Every single one that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, Revelation 20 tells us, no matter how good they are, no matter what deeds they have done or sacrifices they have made, if they're not saved, if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're thrown into the lake of fire. God doesn't do that. We do that. Whenever we refuse Christ, we make sure that we go to heaven whenever we repent of our sins. And God has been telling this from the beginning of mankind, since Adam and Eve had an innocent substitute killed and the skins given to them, till the very last dot that was put. And at the end of the book of Revelation, God has been telling us this
of the whole history of mankind. He says, it always works better with God in the long run. It always works worse without God in the long run. Many years ago, Michael Fish destroyed his career. I think it was Michael Fish when he gave a bad weather report. Not a bad weather report, an inaccurate weather report. And a lot of people were caught out, and his name was mud because they didn't have time to prepare. So these days, using the supercomputers and this, that and the other, they can give a little bit more accurate weather reports, especially in parts of the world where tornadoes and hurricanes rage through the countries. The worst we get is a bit of a rattle on our roofs. Well, at least here, I know some people have lost their lives. But nowhere near like the disasters we see in other countries. Whenever the weathermen get up there and they preach in the news about a hurricane coming, people get out and board up windows. They make sure they've got water or food. They make sure they've got generators, batteries. They make sure they're ready. And that's only for a storm. It'll maybe come once a year or twice a year. There is a storm coming. We have been being warned about it for 2,000 years and thousands of years before that. And just because it hasn't come yet doesn't mean it isn't. But God said, look out for all of those things that I have told you about. And friends, they're happening right now. And that means we need to be saved. We need to take the good news of God and apply it to our lives. First of all, God loves each and every one of us. That's really good news. The liars, the thieves, the murderers, adulterers, the homosexuals, the lesbian, the transgender, the rebel, the blasphemer, the Satan worshipper, the kidnapper, the child abuser. God loves each and every one of them. That is very, very good news. There is no group that's accepted. That's even better good news. From the day we were born, we have been, until the age of getting to know right and wrong, after that age, we need to get saved. That's the bad news. We need to get saved. There is no other way. That is bad news for all of those that are trying to find another way. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's some good news. Only Jesus saves. For free, forever, and for sure. And it's yours for the asking. You tell God you're sorry for your sins and ask him to be your Savior. That is the best of news. It's free. Jesus gave his life for each person in the world so that they could be saved. That's good news. Not would be saved. You're not going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. You'll go to heaven because you accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you. If you don't go, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't choose to go to heaven, you're on your own. Now and for the endless ages of eternity in hell and the lake of fire, that's the bad news. But when you do admit that you're wrong, whenever you do turn away from your sins, whenever you do trust Christ as your own personal Savior, straight away, your name's written in the book of life. You're bound for heaven. God keeps you in the palm of his hand and nothing and nobody can ever pluck you out. You're on the winning side. That's the good news. A little bit of in-between news, in between getting saved and seeing God. You might have a few rough times. That's the bad news. But each and every day of your life, God is there waiting to hear from you and waiting to help you. And that's the good news. And whenever you turn to the very last page in the Bible, people that trust God win. And the souls that reject him and want to try some other way lose. You say, but how can you say that? Because every other thing that God has said in the Bible is coming true. It has come true. Technology, weapons of our warfare, our communications, our global communications network, the state of mankind, the state of religion, all of these things are coming true. The earthquakes all over the place are coming true. Things that we can, that we could affect and refute the Bible, we don't. So the things that the Bible says are coming true. And the things that we can't affect, like earthquakes and stuff like that, they're coming true anyway. All of these things have come true just like God said they would. Right up to the restoration of Israel. Right up to the way there are so many false religions in the world. They're all true. Prophecies of Daniel about the world, the world's great kingdoms, all true. And came true thousands of years after Daniel said they would. They're all true. The things that Jesus said would come true came true. The destruction of Jerusalem happened exactly the way he said it would. Do you know what, friends? God has never let me down. I have let him down. And all the things that he said have happened, would happen, have happened, and that has increased my faith and helped me to put my faith even more in God and follow him even more ardently and be ready to stand up and to contend for men's souls, because he loves us to bits. And the only place you're ever going to find a message that will never change, but that will stick with you through thick and thin and help you over every hump and bump, be caterpillar tracks for the rest of your life, is in the Word of God, in the Gospels, the good news of God. And everything else is built on shifting sand and sinks and rises out of it again. The Word of God and those that trust in it stand on a solid rock. And that is the best in news. I'm going to stop there. There's so much you could keep on going about, but I'm going to stop there and thank you for your good time this morning. God bless you. I'm closing my Bible and I'm opening my hymn book this time at hymn number 125. We're going to sing The Solid Rock together and then we will be finished. 125.
Jesus, blood and white.
good time and attention. God bless you. Pray you have a good Lord's Day, or whatever day it is that you may be happening to listen to our message. God loves you. We love you too, and we want the best for you. If there are any prayer requests, any Bible readings, or indeed any hymns that are favourites for you, that are on our music machine, because I need my wife helping me to sing, text me, let me know, put a note through the door, and we will sing them. And then you can enjoy singing along to your favourite hymn. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time we've been able to spend in your presence, for the freedoms that we still have, Lord. I pray you please put your good hand upon us and help us. Help us, Lord, this day to remember that whatever comes our way, when we love you, when we're trusting you as Saviour, when we're obeying you as Lord, we meet everything with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Please heal the sick. Please lift up the downhearted. Please be with those that preach and teach the word in these troubled times. And Lord, we just ask all of our prayer requests, private and public, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and ask that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your indwelling of the Holy Spirit and for leaving your word with us and preserving it. Just, Lord, we leave these things at your feet. And Lord, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. Remember, when you're a Christian, it's all good news. Our good news, sadly, is a lot of people's bad news, but I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. And I am looking forward, when the time comes, to getting out and seeing each one of you again and getting the word round the doors. God bless you. Until the next time. Bye-bye.